until now, we have been looking at the institution of the family, the Christian home. And we have spoken concerning how this home that God gives to us is a modeling of what we would be seeing in eternity. And we have spoken about its origin, how it is designed by God, and He therefore has a perfect plan to bring us, bring His plan to fruition in our lives. Come to think of it, whether we like it or not, we would be going in that direction. God has designed it that way. But if you were to think of it carefully, we have a very gracious God, and He has designed it actually for our eternal blessing. And so the Lord wants us to understand and see and be attuned to His will for our lives. And so we have spoken at length yesterday concerning the husband and wife relationship, the relationship between parents and children, parenthood. And then we spoke about the relations between children and their parents. This morning, we touch on the dynamics in the family, how the family is to be centered upon God, upon Christ, who is the head of the family, and how it is to be centered in the family altar. And we have seen, biblically speaking, of many, many examples of saints of old whose lives are modeled after that pattern of blessing that God has for His people. And we spoke about also conflict, how in a family there would be conflicts. And we have spoken concerning what are the principles in which God has given to us from His word to, in order that there is harmony, there is peace in the home. And having said all this, and can we put it this way, that having done all this, you have a family ready, father and mother with children, to step out into the world, or step out into a greater community, a larger community. Right, we call this community the extended family, or the family that would come about by the blood of Jesus Christ, how we are saved and baptized into this body of Christ, this church family that we are to be a part of. And when we come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this body of Christ, we said, in its basic structure, is in the form of the family. Right? How the various families come together to form the whole body of Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, that for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So many of us, when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord puts us into the church family. And Paul said in Galatians 3:27-28, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Christ is in you when you become a child of God. But that image of Christ in you is not perfected. God puts you into the church family in order that you may grow to the full measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. That the image of Christ may be formed in you. And so, the Lord puts us into this new family by the Spirit of God. And the Lord, and Paul called it in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God. Right? 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says, right, that God has placed him in this world in order that he may be a blessing, an apostle, to show the body of believers the final things of their congregating together. And so he used the phrase, "How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." So not only are you in the church, or not only are you in your individual families, right, but your individual families, God has brought together the community of families whereby you become the church of God, right? Paul used the word, the house of God, to describe this body, all right? And here it is a description of the body of believers. Right? The Lord wants us to see and understand that he places us into this family, this church home, right, this larger community, right, and he uses the phrase the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now he wants us to see that this church, this house of God, is called the church of the living God. This church belongs to God. The genitive there describes the belonging. We are of God. The church of God. Belonging to God. Right? The headship of God is called the church of the living God. Whereby the church, right, is the word that is used to describe this body. Right? How we have been called out. Right? The verb there means to be to be called out of, right? To be called, that's the verb, and the preposition out of, right? So God has, in the fullness of time, intervened in our lives to cause us to be saved, right? And we, the called out ones, would stand as a testimony for the living and true God. And this community that we are in, right, is also called the pillar of truth. Right? You realize that we are the only institution in the world that teaches the truth concerning who we are, where we are going. This oracles of God has been committed to us, the church, this body of God's people. And so the Lord wants us to place us into this body so that we may grow. Right? Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 tells us that He gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, spiritually matured, right? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means the image of God, of Christ that is in you, right? The Lord will be perfecting it as you come together as a community of families. But how is He doing that? Now, that's the question that we want to answer for us tonight. All right. In our hearts, in our words, and in our work. Right, you notice that in the Bible, there is what we call this one another description, right, that is prevalent, that is there all the time to describe that relationship amongst the believers. And this one another, what we call the one, well, we'll term it as the one another principle, can be categorized if you look through all these verses concerning how the believers are to interact one with another. All right, fall into three categories. God wants to form maturity in our affections, in our hearts. God wants to form in us a maturity by the words that we speak, by our conversation, one with another. And God wants to perfect in us, in our hands, by the things that we do in this community. This ministering, this laboring that we will be doing. Right? And the emphasis here is that we are to grow in our interaction one with another. And so it begins in the heart, and it will manifest itself in the words, and it would finally culminate in the actions that we do. All right, growing in the heart. He tells us in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Right, when you submit yourself to the will of God, to the Word of God, right. The Spirit of God comes to you. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. And God gives you that genuine, unfeigned or unfeigned love for the brethren. And this love for the brethren, the Apostle Paul says that we are to do so, to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Okay. So this is what God wants us to do in our interaction with one another. But it begins in the heart. All right. God wants you to grow in love. Grow to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Then he says that finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. 1 Peter 3:8. So you see that these are all things of the heart. Right? God wants you to do something. Okay? But it begins with the heart. Right? And oftentimes, you know, we struggle in our heart. Right? There is another member within our heart that tells us, no, don't do that. Okay. Then there is that sanctifying member, the Spirit of God that is in us, telling us that, no, this is the will of God. We are to love one another, have compassion one for another. Right? But there is another voice saying, oh, if you were to do that, right? If you give somebody something, you would lose something. Oh, there's another voice that comes. So, you know, in order to protect yourself, don't give. So there is that growing that the Lord wants us to see, right? Having compassion, having love one for another, right? With all loving kindness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, Ephesians 4:2. Right? Learning to forbear, to bear patiently with one another's weaknesses. Not easy. Not easy. But this is where God wants us to grow. And it begins in the heart. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. Right? These are things of the heart. Pray one for another. Right? In order to minister help one to another, you pray for the other person. And so it begins in the heart. Right? The growing in our affections for one another. So this is what God wants us to see, in our lives. Right? That and this church, right, is that training ground whereby our character is perfected, right? Is being trained as God places us, you know, in that community. Okay. Growing in our conversation. The Lord wants us to be able to teach and admonish one another, right? Through our conversation, right? Through hymns, songs, spiritual songs, right? In that interaction. And He wants us to grow, to build one another up. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Right? Edify means to build each other up. To build each other up. Right? So in our conversation, to build one another. And then He tells us also that we are to grow in the works of our hands. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another. Right. To minister, to serve one another. Okay. To use hospitality one to another without grudging. To bear one another's burdens. By doing so, ye fulfill the law of God. And so, you notice that this one another principle is very wholesome training. All right. It trains the heart. It trains the hands. It trains the lips. And the Lord wants us to grow, right, to the full stature of Christ. We grow to that perfection, to be like Christ. And that we may be perfect in love. That we may conform to the image of Christ. And so you notice that this is a very, very high standard that is being set, right? To be like Christ. Who can be like Christ? Not by our own strength. By ourselves, we will fail. But the Lord commands us that if you were to do these things one to another, His grace will be with you, that you will manifest the mind of Christ. You will manifest the acts of Christ. Right? Just as we would study in the Acts of the Apostles in the church, right? How they help one another, right? How they worship together, they pray together, they break bread together, they visit one another. How they were all so happy, sharing one with another. I remember in our study, we said that there is all this that goes on. And that is why the believers must not forsake this assembly, one with another. It is by this assembly, one with another, that the Lord would use to perfect us in our Christian, in our stature, spiritual stature, forming the attributes of godliness in our lives. And we are encouraged, Hebrews 10 verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What do you mean by exhorting one another? Exhorting one another means to persuade one another to carry on. That's why we go about, you know, to persuade one another to come for camp. Persuade one another to be in the community of God's people. Right? If we don't persuade, we don't exhort one another, you'll find that inadvertently, one or the other would drop out. Right? When they are alone, when they drop out, you'll find that many a times, right, they will be, in a sense, I would say, eaten up by the world. Okay? Because alone, there is no sanctifying influence upon them. Right. And that's why, you know, if a believer would not bring himself to be with the other believers, and sometimes we don't like it. When we are in the community of God's people, there are things that we don't like, because don't like to do, because it involves changing, you know, our old habits, or our habits that, you know it's not right. See, but God puts us into that community so that we would be able to see our weaknesses, where we are not perfect, where we are not right in the sight of God. And God would want us to change, to see, and to grow. Right? So you notice that the church is a place where we exhort one another to grow together. It's not a place for gossip. It's not a place for entertainment. But it's serious business. We are helping one another to grow in our spiritual walk with God. That our conversation may be holy, that our hearts may be loving, that our labor, the things that we would do, would be out of love. This is how the church is edified. This is how the believer is able to grow. And that's why, you know, as you read the epistles of the apostles, you would be able to see how there is all this one another passages that the Lord puts together that we are to learn, to grow. God is doing this deep-rooted work in you. And there are real changes that God will do in your life. And God is going to do so by first changing your affection, changing your heart, changing your attitude. God is not going to, you know, leave us unfend for, unprotected by the onslaughts of the world. When He calls us out, He puts us into this family of families, in order that we may be able to, by this community of families, build together, right? And so God has given to us a new heart when we are saved, right? And He gives to us a new affection. And you are to behave in order to keep that unity in the body. And that's why there is all this one another principles that is being taught by the apostles, that is scattered all over the epistles concerning how we are to behave in church. Right? You must have your own family, but you must also have an extended family in the church. And Ephesians 2:19-22 tells us that God is working out something in this body of believers, right, with an eternal purpose in mind. Okay, it says here in Ephesians 2:19-22, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and that are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone." We are being built. And He gives the example of a building in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. You see how this temple, right, tomorrow we're going to talk about it in the book of Revelation, right, when it would be perfected in the fullness of time, right, in the fullness of the age, right, after the millennium, after the 1,000-year rule of Christ upon earth. This earth is going to be destroyed. And God is going to create it anew again. And that learning, you know, it's not just now, but 1,000 years upon earth. And then for eternity. So there is all this work that is going on, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. in whom are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. And so God is doing this wholesome training for all of us in this community of God's people. That's why the Lord, you know, brought us together. Can you understand why God allowed a church to be established in this way? Well, it is by His purpose, oftentimes mysterious. But as you look into the scriptures, you would know that, you know, He has it for the purpose that the body of His people, right, we have, you know, the universal church that consists of all the believers throughout all the ages, and we have the local church that God puts us in, where it consists of believers and unbelievers, right, coming together. And the Lord wants us to, together, right, be prepared, be built to the full stature and the fullness of Christ. There is an author that has put together all this one another phrases. Alright, I would get it for you later. But I just read to you. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Give preference one to another in honor. Be of the same mind toward one another. Stop judging one another. Pursue the building up of one another. Accept one another, admonish one another, greet one another, wait for one another, care for one another, serve one another through love, bear one another's burdens, show forbearance to one another, be kind one to another, forgive one another, speak one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, be subject to one another, regard one another as more important, not lie to one another, teach one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, be at peace with one another, pursue good to one another, consider one another, not speak against one another, not complain against one another, confess your sins to one another, pray one for another, be hospitable to one another, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. You see, this is the purpose of God's will for our lives. There is always that one another that God wants us to know, and it begins with the heart. And it would manifest itself in the speech. And then it would be seen in the actions. So may the Lord help us to understand why He places us in this church. It is for the perfecting of each and every one of our characters, that when the day comes, when we stand with Christ in heaven, we were having lunch, and this brother says, we're all going to heaven, you know. So happy. That's our destination. And he says, wow, every time I think of it, that's what I'm living for, he says. That's what I'm living for heaven. And the Lord wants us to kindle this understanding concerning our eternal home. heaven that God has prepared for, prepared people. We are in this preparation process, and this is the training ground that God has for us. And He tells us that you are to, in this community, serve one another, love one another. Right? Paul says, devour not one another. That we all may grow. And we realize how God is bringing various people into the community of His people. And as others come, right, you'll find that different people would have different, would be in different measure of spiritual maturity. Right? That's where, you know, God would use different people, right, to minister one to another. Okay? And that is all there is. You see, God brings us into this community that we may learn to love one another, serve one another. And in eternity, there will be great reward for the for those who will be willing to put on Christ, willing to love one another and serve one another. It's a different value system from the values of the world. And that's why it takes much thinking, meditation, consideration in order that we may be able to understand these eternal values. And there will be a lot of struggle. You would be fighting within yourself to do all this that is being described here, the one another principles. None of us is excluded. All of us are included. And we realize that it is a tall order. Right? The perfection or the forming of the image of Christ in us. Wow. Do we think that we have arrived? I think we have not. We are far from it. And God is bringing us, working a perfect work to perfect it. And that is why we can trust the grace of God, the leading of God, the good hand of God, the good will of God, doing all these things to help us to grow into that fullness of stature, of maturity in Christ. Tomorrow we will have our last message. We have spoken, I would say, briefly concerning many aspects of the Christian family and church life. But the principles are laid down for our learning. May we learn well and put them into practice, that we, as this community of believers here, may shine forth the light of the gospel, the purity of God's love in our hearts, in our words, in our works. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing to us thy purpose in putting us into the church family, this church home that thou hast given to us. O God, I pray that thou would also give to us the strength, thy grace, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we see the day of thy coming fast approaching, as we see the world around us turning, changing. We see how the institutions of thy design has been overturned one after another, and the order that thou has created has become a disorder in this world. We know that judgment is nigh, but we also know that refuge can be found in the community of God's people who would support one another, bear one another's burdens, strengthen one another, and together we may grow to that body, the holy temple in the Lord, that would be built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. O Lord, we cannot see what that final glory is, but we can catch glimpses out of thy word of the final glory of thy people. O God, I pray that thou would help us to see and see clearly and help us to know how, where we are going. And Lord, you have also equipped us with the wisdom how to get there. Lord, may thou help us to do thy will, follow thy commandment, put all these principles into practice. This I pray, asking for thy grace in thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.